say, same England, massive news.
The biggest story in the world right now. We talked about the Super League yesterday. We're back at it today. The idea that managed to enrage everybody. Everybody. Worldwide unrest. And we touched upon it yesterday, but not enough for me. Those snatchers of the greatest gobs of money, UEFA, FIFA, EPL, etc., sanctimoniously accusing others of snatching gobs of money when the world needs solidarity, they wrote. Today's news, and this is huge, it's just been 48 hours. Chelsea, Man City, Atletico Madrid, pulling out. I mean, Barcelona. Pulling out! It's happening within 48. Frank Isola, I go to you for squashed rebellions. What is happening here?
I'll tell you what. Bravo to those clubs that are doing that. And we all know that sports is about money, but when it gets shoved in your face, like the Super League is trying to do, it becomes obnoxious. And it says something about those clubs that understand history, tradition, where their roots are, their fan bases. Then you have these American owners that come on and are trying to ruin European football the way they ruined some of our leagues over here. Arsenal's owned by an American. Liverpool. And here's another thing, Tony. Remember, Man City, the noisy neighbors, as they like to call themselves, now they're going to put pressure on Man United. And Chelsea's going to put a lot of pressure on the teams in London, Tottenham and Arsenal. So good job by all those clubs.
Through our tape time, it may have already happened. We don't know. Or maybe Man United is the only remaining, and that's the only way they're going to win a league. Oh, Blackstone, how about you?
Oh, my goodness. The shame of it all, Frank. Tradition is being ruined. How long has the Champions League been around? Oh, my goodness, since 1892? Or was it 1992? All this is a new cartel has formed to fight the old cartel that has been around for a couple of decades now. And it is absolutely a fight about money. You're absolutely right, Frank, and that's all that it is. But this is also a big negotiating ploy by those 12 teams. I mean, you know, you follow this more closely than I do. The Super League conversation has been going on for several years now. There have been all these leaked emails about what was going on. And the suggestion there really is that they're trying to get a hand on the governance of soccer in Europe. And so it's come to this, and now it looks like both sides are doing a tug of war over the biggest brand names when it comes to soccer in Europe. And we'll see in the end who wins, because that's all it is. It's a new cartel versus an old cartel.
Could we already be at the end, though? I turn to you, Emily Kaplan. It's been 48 hours. I mean, as of this second, as we're taping, four have pulled out. It could be 10 by the time we air. Who knows?
Grand opening, grand closing. You know, when you talk to Florentino, and you listen to Florentino Perez talk yesterday, he's the mastermind behind all of this. It honestly almost sounded like a parody. Like, how many more things can I say to piss off football fans? He was even talking about shortening matches. It was so obvious that this was just a cash grab, desperate attempt to bail themselves out for previous financial mismanagement. And, you know, as long as I've covered soccer, the sport has been plagued, or followed it, has been plagued by, you know, bribery and corruption scandal. Right. But even this went too far. I'm a Chelsea supporter, and I was ready to continue supporting the players and the management because they had nothing to do with it. But I am such a prouder supporter today than I was 24 hours ago.
And Ramona Shelburne.
Is it any coincidence that the trailer for Ted Lasso 2 came out today? I just think these things are connected, okay? Look, this is, to me, this is, I think Blackstone's right on. This is a new cartel. There's money to be made. It's the same debate that we have in the States over large market teams versus small market teams, and the large market teams are building so much of the revenue, and then they have to give it away to the small market teams. We get it, but Frank, correct me if I'm wrong, don't we already have a tournament that does this? Like, we don't really need a whole league. We can do the Champions Cup.
Champions League. I understand that, Frank.
Yeah.
But it's the Americanization of sports, in your opinion, that is what's happening here. Right, Frank?
100%. And everyone, you know, they built that brand new stadium in Tottenham. And you know that they would love to have NFL games over there, which they will have. You know, one day they'd love to play the Super Bowl over there. Now you're thinking, was one of the reasons behind building that massive stadium for Tottenham is for this Super League. And guess what? You know, Man City... And also, you know, was never one of these top clubs, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Same thing with Chelsea. They just had money brought in. Now they're considered a top club. What about teams like West Ham, Aston Villa? Back in the day, they were big clubs. So you're kind of forgetting tradition and the roots where you came from by trying to break off.
Frank,
that's why it's good that they said,
how
no
did they go. Not foresee this? How it's been 48 hours, worldwide unrest. Maybe. What do they think? They were just going to do this on the cover of darkness?
Maybe they just floated out there as a trial balloon. But remember, you have
this is the Lindenberg, and it's a trial balloon. I mean, this is ridiculous.
And Borussia Dortmund want nothing to do with it.
Yes, yeah. The German teams, the Bundesliga, never jumped in. PSG, who is the reigning champion as well, yeah. I mean, their owner is on the board of directors for UEFA, so it was never really going to happen for them. Right. This is just stunning. What we love about European soccer, English league in general, is that Leicester City can come out of nowhere and win it.
That's right.
That Leeds That's can right. be the best team in the world and be out of the league.
And then they go to the Champions
exactly.
League.
Exactly. Yep. So what really played here was that the fans had a voice, and that's a wonderful thing, I think. We can all agree upon that. Who knows how it's going to play out in the next 48 hours? We're going to move on. Only two MVPs in NBA history have ever been from a losing team. Trivia for points. Two MVPs from a losing team. Anyone? Anyone?
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
Bill Walton.
No. Bob Pettit, the first MVP, actually, there. Blackstone got one of the two. Recently, only Westbrook, his first triple-double season, was from a player from the, let's say, bottom half of the playoff table. Yeah. OKC yeah. was a six seed. So historically, it's been one and two and three seeds, teams with 700, 800 winning percentage. I bring this up because it's getting fun with Jokic, as we see right here, who had an amazing double overtime win game, 47 last night. His team's a four seed. And Stephen Curry, who is now, we're talking about the greatest shooter of all time, pushing so far beyond, as Steve Kerr said, with the run that he's on. So MVP me. I know you want to, Momo. Go ahead. Can Curry really be having his best year ever and not be an MVP because the team's not winning enough?
Look, they're 28 and 22 when Steph Curry plays. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not a great record, but considering what they are when he doesn't play, I mean, they were the worst team in the league last year when he was not in there. And so I think when we talk about the MVP debate, yeah, they're in the ninth spot right now. They'd be out of the playoffs looking in if we were in our traditional scheduling, but they're right in the mix for the play-in tournament, and he has been that valuable. And to me, just somebody who covers the league day in and day out, I appreciate somebody taking the regular season like as seriously as Steph Curry is. I mean, we talk about games need to matter, national TV games need to matter, stars need to play. He's out there every night doing it. And he was in Philadelphia last night. Guys, the fans in Philly were chanting MVP for Steph Curry with Joel Embiid on the floor. That's amazing that they would go that far.
So you would be all right with Steph Curry winning an MVP in a season his team.
I don't know if I would say he should win. I'm going to vote for him. He's going to be in my top five. But Joker's really making a run right here. They're 3-0 since Jamal Murray got hurt. He's doing really well. Joel Embiid, to me, playing on both sides of the ball. I want to see how the season finishes before we make that final vote. But I think this is a fun MVP race now. Like even last week, I didn't think it was going to be fun. It was last man standing. Now it's fun.
Emily Kaplan?
You know, I have a hard time appointing him MVP today when the current front runner Jokic scores 47 last night, including a career high 34 in the points. I will say this, that Steph has made the rest of the NBA season interesting. Yeah. Last week, all we were talking about is the Mavs not wanting to be in the play-in tournament, regretting the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. Now all I care about is the play-in tournament because I want to see how far Steph and the Warriors can take it. This is definitely the most impressive individual stretch he's ever been on his career. He's doing it without Klay on the court, without a KD. In the last 10 games, he has scored more three-pointers than Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Embiid, Giannis, or Siakam have scored the entire season.
Kevin Blackstone, I turn to you because you have been, I don't want to say critical, but you've been aware of what pace of play like is in the NBA now and the sheer number of three-pointers, and you're not one who's easily impressed by those numbers. What Steph's doing, does this impress you? Does this make you think he's an MVP?
Well, it impresses me from the standpoint that he is a progenitor of the new NBA, and that's people shooting three-pointers. And he's shooting more three-pointers this year than he ever has in his career and hitting more than he ever has in his career. And as a result, he has a slightly higher average for this season than he ever has had in his career. But I should also point out that there are twice as many guys shooting 40% from the three-point line than there were a year ago, which suggested to me that it is either easier to hit three-pointers right now or defense is a little bit more lax. I don't know what it is. So I don't take anything away from what Steph Curry has done. And you pointed out the history. There have been guys from teams that didn't make the playoffs with losing records who were in
not recently.
Given that he is not recently, but given that he is the best of what they do now in the NBA, he's certainly in the conversation.
Oh, in the conversation? Are we still doing this? We're in the conversation. We don't need to have a conversation about the conversation. Frank Isola.
Yeah, and he past Bradley Beal. Right now, he's leading the league in scoring. Yeah. You know, he has 21 games in his history where he's hit at least 10 three-pointers. The next guy on that list is his teammate Klay Thompson with 5. You're talking about a player that has completely changed the way the game is played, not just at the NBA level, but now at lower levels as well. His ability to shoot, one of the great, for me, the greatest shooter in the history of the sport, clearly one of the best scorers in the history of the sport. But I'll put him in the group with Chris Paul, with Devin Booker, considering what Phoenix has done, top 5. But Jokic has played every game. So you look at availability, production, and record. And Jokic, as Emily said, scored 47 points. So right now, at this moment, he's number one for me.
This run that he's on right now, Frank, compared to Kobe, compared to Iverson, and kind of recent-ish times where guys were going 40 every night.
Well, I do agree with Kevin. I think the way that the game is played defensively, you can't get after it like you once did. But make no mistake about it. He always makes smart decisions on the court. He can make the toughest shots, and he gets his teammates involved. That double team comes, he will pass the ball. He's just a different level player than most of the players.
Ramona, is this run right now by Curry, and I say this very cautiously, better than Kobe's best run when he was scoring 40 straight?
You know what? I still got to go with Kobe because he had a lot of 50-point games in that year and the year after Shaq retired. Remember, that was the same year he scored 81 against Toronto. So we get a little victim of falling for that three-point shot and everything that's going on in the league. But
KB?
Kobe was filling it up that year.
Kevin?
I was just going to say, Jokic, look at the triple-doubles that he's putting up right now. So he's doing everything. I mean, he was 2 assists shy of a triple-double last night.
Okay. We have a quadruple-double right now. Everybody in double figures going into buy or sell. 2 minutes.
Around the Horn is brought to you by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season at the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
How the Suns beat the Bucks last night. Devin Booker really waiting until the absolute last millisecond to take the last shot in overtime. Maybe waited too long, but the foul, they had to look to see if it came before or after the horn, and it was slightly before. Free throw won it for Phoenix. At the end of regulation, Giannis couldn't get his shot off. And then in overtime, Giannis having cramps, taken out, didn't get back in. Momo, was this about Phoenix or Milwaukee last night?
You know what, I'm going to give credit to the Suns here because I thought that was a pretty bad call on Booker at the end there. I don't know where P.J. Tucker fouled him. Thought it was pretty good defense from Drew Holiday, so it's hard to hold that against the Bucks. I'm going to give this to Phoenix. They're impressing us now. Nobody's sure that we can trust Phoenix in the playoffs, but Chris Paul just passed Magic Johnson on the all-time assist board, and this is a team to watch in the playoffs.
Emily Kaplan.
I was so impressed with DeAndre Ayton. He fought through a shoulder injury, still posted a double-double and guarded Giannis as well as anybody has. And can we just talk about Chris Paul? In his last six games, he's had 59 assists and just 3 turnovers. That's insane. Dude's in his 16th season.
Say that again? How many? What was his assist-to-turnover ratio on the list?
59 assists, 3 turnovers.
Good stats from Kaplan. Blackstone.
I don't know if that foul came before the horn or after the horn. It came around the horn. That's
yo.
Sure. But what I would say is this is more about the Bucks because we keep waiting for them to be that team that gets out of the East. And there's third place. They're just muddling through this part of the season. And once again, Giannis can't finish a game.
Frank Isola.
Emily is right about don't be hating DeAndre Ayton. He's been terrific. But this is about two people, Chris Paul and Monty Williams, the head coach. They are serious, no-nonsense guys who have elevated a lost franchise to now has 41 wins. By the way, Tony, I could have sworn that Milwaukee lost to Miami in a playoff game last year. Last-second foul by Giannis. Guess what? If it's a foul at the beginning of the game, it's a foul at the end of the game. Stop fouling.
Buy or sell two, Chet Holmgren, number one recruit in America. 7'1", 195 pounds, from the same part of Minnesota Paige Beckers, Jalen Suggs are from the same high school Suggs, and now Gonzaga bound. Zag's first ever overall one recruit. Suggs was number 6. So sliding doors, Suggs goes pro and Holmgren announces. The idea of added pressure on Gonzaga, I'm not sure how. What's more pressure than more pressure, but Kevin, buy or sell more pressure in Gonzaga, and what's the ceiling for Holmgren?
Well, it is more pressure because now you've got the number one guy. I remember when Johnny Oates got A-Rod. I was at that owner's meeting. I walked up to him and said, how does that feel? He's like, I better win right now. He didn't. He was gone. Not that anything's going to happen to Mark Few, but, you know, we keep talking about the roster that he has. Isn't this the year that Mark Few breaks through? So this better be the year.
All right, guys. Sola?
I'll give you a better quote, Kevin. John Travolta is Chili Palmer in Get Shorty. He said, pressure. I'm the guy that applies the pressure. That's what Mark Few is doing to the rest of college basketball. He just lost Jalen Suggs, who could be the number one pick. And this kid, 7'1", he's going to have to gain some weight. But guess what? Kevin Durant, Porzingis, they needed to gain some weight as well.
Oh, okay. So you're going Porzingis and Durant is the comp that you just threw for home?
Well,
you put him in the same sentence. Shelvin, how about you?
Yeah, I want to know who's coaching the U teams in Minnehaha. That's such a great town to say, Minnesota. Like, who's coaching them
what
up there? My goodness.
Yeah.
God. You know what? I actually think they lost in the finals here. They lost in the championship game. And maybe if they would have had him this year, they would have had enough talent to compete with Baylor.
Well, that's the point, right? I mean, how much more pressure? Yeah. They were the overall one seed.
I mean.
And they got crushed.
Undefeated.
Undefeated in the national title game. Kaplan, how about you?
You know, Holmgren isn't their only great recruit that they got. They also got the number 7 recruit in the country as well as a 4-star power forward. So I think the challenge here is you're recruiting like a blue blood now. How do you stick to your team identity, which is what got you to 22 straight tournaments, while also managing this new one-and-done culture? And I don't think that's an easy task.
Frank, real quick, someone with Holmgren's build 25, 30 years ago, we would say, well, he's really got to put on weight. You question whether he can have a career. Is it different now?
But when you watch those highlights, Tony, they're not putting him in the post. He's putting the ball on the floor, hitting pull-up jumpers. So he's got a lot of ability. He's going to still have to get a little bit strong.
Buy or sell three, Patrick Marleau, 1768, excuse me. If I were to ask you who had the all-time record for games played in the NHL, I think you'd all say Gordie Howe. Shocking. Marleau passing him last night, Emily Kaplan, and this was a great, glorious moment after the game. He got emotional. You can see the patch. That silhouette of Marleau on the Sharks jerseys. That's very cool, too. What to buy, what to sell.
You know, it's an incredible moment. He did this at age 41. He would have done it a lot sooner if he didn't lose more than 100 games to 2 lockouts and a global pandemic. The most amazing thing to me, though, is he debuted in 1997. There are 7 GMs, 2 head coaches, and 2 team presidents that were still playing in the league back then.
Wow. KB?
Longevity, I mean, we don't give it enough credit. I mean, think about how long this guy's been doing this, not in a contact sport, in a collision sport, where we always talk about lower body injuries and that sort of thing.
Isola?
And durability, 899
right
straight
now.
Games that he's played in. Meanwhile, 5 players played against both Gordie Howe and Patrick Marleau. 3 guys from the Oilers, Gretzky, Messier, and Kevin Lowe. Mike Gartner, the famous Washington Capitol. And then Ray Bourque, the Boston Bruin, won a Stanley Cup in Colorado.
That is an incredible piece of information. I believe they're all Hall of Famers, just off the top of my head. Did you get that from Emily Kaplan's column or something like that? That's unbelievable.
They're all compilers.
Shelburne, how about you?
Look, once you pass 40, there are a lot of things that make you feel old, okay? So when he debuted in 1997, there were 171 players that are active in the NHL who weren't even born yet.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh. Emily, last word. Marlowe, Hall of Famer?
He is not. Gordie Howe is a Hall of Famer, but he's a very, very good player.
Shelburne and Kaplan.
Ah, she's a tough marker.
Blackstone, Isola, showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Participation showdown, all right? The glove fan in Washington last night, dropping his chance at a home run, appears to quit the life, but miraculously gets a second chance and catches of it. I mean, come on! But being about that life, you may know of the name Zach Hample. He's a fan who's now, as we know it, has over 11,000 balls in ballparks. Last night in Philly, he had a hard fall. And also one more participation. Roll tape here.
Pitch. Coming right back at us.
Yeah! Hacks. That's Texas Tech.
My hand
hurts
so bad
catching
right now.
A ball. Who is your souvenir hero, KB?
Oh, the souvenir hero is certainly not going to be that guy that chases baseballs all around, was breaking protocol in a pandemic stadium. Who was going after that ball? It's got to be the guy in the press box catching the ball one hand, saving his camera from who knows what kind of damage.
I covered the Mets for 2 years. I never got a ball back in the press box. Also, you're ruining the sense of community when you're chasing after foul balls. I love you. Stand right there. It came through the second time, and you caught it. That's a win.
Kevin Blackstone, 30 seconds of FaceTime.
Thank you very much, Tony. Man, that made me shudder watching that guy catch that ball like that. I think it was the Orioles press box I was in for a particular game, which is pretty low, which is good because you can really see the game. But there will be some screamers that come back there. And remember George Bush ducking those thrown shoes at him in Iraq? Boom. And there comes another one. Boom. I was like that in one inning with foul balls coming back at Orioles Stadium. So that guy, that's a heck of a thing.
Frank, you never got a foul ball. Blackstone was ducking foul balls like a shoe. Shelburne, Kaplan, you ever get a puck?
Never. I'm not even close. Okay. I bring my glove to the game. I don't even, never.
23 and a half hour break. Here, catch a paper toss then. Oh, cool.